Today's passage comes from Genesis chapter 14, verse 13 through 24. Genesis chapter 14, verse 13 through 24. I will read it to you. One who had escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol and Anar, of all whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that this relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in his pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the woman and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him the tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me to Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." This is word of the Lord. Amen. So we are continuing with our kind of series, and we're talking about faith, and we're looking into the book of Genesis, the story of Abraham. And with the sermon title, "Go Beyond Your Limits," I would like to share God's grace with you. I don't know how many of you remember watching PyeongChang Olympic in 2018. It's already 4 years ago. Many athletes, they practice hard, very hard for many, many years, and they played hard to win the medal and to break the world record, Olympic record. And the fans were excited to see their favorite athletes getting the medal in this Olympic. And one of the athletes spotlighted at PyeongChang was Chloe Kim. I don't know if you remember her, who won a gold medal for United States as a Korean-American. She was the youngest female snowboarding gold medalist, and she was only 17 years old. Her parents came to U.S. in 1982, and her father quit his job as an engineer to help his daughter to chase her dream. Chloe Kim started to jump on a snowboard when she was four, and they lived in Torrance, California, and his father frequently drove 6 hours to bring her to the mountain where she can be trained. I'm sure this was not easy for any one of them. Many parents, we drive our kids to activities, schools, too. But this requires a lot of energy, time, and sacrifice, right? But their family pushed hard to go beyond their limits as an immigrant family to achieve this glorious moment. After Chloe Kim won a gold medal, her father pointed himself and shouted, "American dream, American dream." Probably these these statements have motivated Chloe and her family to not give up. Growth occurs when you go beyond your limits, and don't limit your challenges. Challenge your limit. NBC News reporter puts it this way: Chloe Kim's snowboarding triumph at the Olympic crowned years of practice and focus on the sport. She came to this glorious moment after years and years of practice and by focusing on the sport. Likewise, all Christians, after many years of practices, suffering, difficulties, ups and downs, and by focusing on Jesus Christ, will one day come to this glorious moment when we will stand before God and be crowned with a crown of life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." But the thing is, we want to live by faith, but there are many barriers and limitations that prohibit us to focus on God and to live faithfully. So through today's passage, I would like to see what kind of limitation we may face in our lives and how we can go beyond these limitations. First, go beyond the limitation of yourself. Verse 14, take a look at verse 14. It says, when Abraham heard that his kinsman had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Here, Abraham heard the news that Lot was taken captive, and all of his property was taken away. But it's interesting to see how Abraham react to this news, and there's a lesson we can learn from his reaction. When Abraham heard this news, he could have criticized Lot for leaving him and thought Lot deserves this time of suffering since Lot chose to leave Abraham for his own greediness, right? You know, how do you feel when someone troubles you face suffering? We may say, yes, I knew it. Yes, you deserve this, right? 센통이다, right? And we may say, yes, God is justice. You know, God is alive, right? And we don't want to offer any help to these people. Probably Abraham did not want to help Lot, who left him to find his own comfort. He could have ignored and pretend like he didn't hear it. Or he could have justified himself and give excuses to not help, since Abraham was a shepherd who doesn't have any experience of war. And even the 300 people he took were not a soldier. They were just a normal man who were trained to fight. So with this limited experience, fighting against the coalition did not make sense at all, right? It's a definite loss. But it's not that Lot came to Abraham and asking for help. Lot is still in Sodom, right? So Abraham could have just stayed still and just do nothing. But when Abraham heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he brought 318 men to go fight and save Lot. Probably before going to war, Abraham would have had to fight against himself and thinking about whether he should help Lot or not. Among many battles, I think battling with oneself would be the hardest challenges. We can drive our car to wherever we want to go, but it's hard to drive our mind to a certain will. We don't want to get angry towards our spouse or children or friends, family. But oftentimes, we feel the need to take the anger management class. We also want to spend enough time to study for the exams, but we normally cram the day before the exam. We want to pray and read Bible every day, but we don't know why K-drama, TV shows, or video games are so attractive that it makes us to skip praying and reading Bible. And we want to go on a diet, but we can't resist our appetite. You know, there are so many internal battles that we face every day, right? Even Apostle Paul said this in Romans chapter 7, verse 24-25. He says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from his body of death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that I myself serve flesh, I serve the law of sin. So in order to go beyond the limitation of himself, he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This means to fight with yourself and win. You know, sometimes we feel like 24 hours is not enough. There are so many things that we want to do and we want to say. But Jesus said, it says in Matthew 16:24 that Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The way that Jesus teaches to go beyond the limitation of oneself is to deny oneself and take up his cross and follow him. And this is what Abraham did. He denied his emotions. He denied his logical reasoning. He denied the supporting evidence to not help Lot. But he takes up his cross of disappointment towards Lot and followed after God's heart, even though it requires his own sacrifice. And this is how Abraham was able to go beyond his limits and was able to win the spiritual war and has saved, and win the war and save Lot with small number of people. Second, go beyond the limitation of spiritual battle. Go beyond the limitation of spiritual battle. Verse 16 says, then he brought back all the possessions and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the woman and the people. Again, it is impossible to fight against the coalition with only 318 people and win the battle. But when Abram and his people fought with faith, this is the way God works. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29 says this, for consider yourself calling, brothers, and not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Probably Abram was afraid to go fight in the battle. They didn't have enough numbers and didn't have enough experience. They were weak. Although it was a fearful battle, but this was a battle of faith. Abram did not rely on his own power or trust his own knowledge, but he went to the battleground with faith. We don't get to be involved in a physical battle, but there are many times in our lives that when we have to face a spiritual battle, a battle between good and evil. We're often placed in a position where, should I go to church or skip the church? Because I worked hard this week and I'm tired. Should I pray or not pray? Because God knows everything, even though I don't pray. Should I forgive this person or not? Because this person have done something wrong to me. Should I be thankful or complain? Because I'm not getting what I want. You know, Satan does not attack us with obvious statement, but he cleverly tests us with logical reasoning. But there are times when this battle gets even harder. Should I continue to trust God or be discouraged when there seems to be no way? Should I continue to trust God or be anxious when a bad signal of health comes? Should I continue to serve the church or give up when this person is always on your way? Should I continue to live faithfully by praying, reading Bible, and living out the gospel, or live faithlessly by ignoring to do these things when I'm stressed at work and just watch kids, and when I come home and have absolutely no time for myself? Before these challenges, we often fail and we often give up to Satan. Sometimes we're scared before these challenges. What if I lose my job? What if I lose my health? What if God doesn't bless me? So this is why we choose to be drawn closer to the side where Satan pulls and just hoping that God will understand. Abram once experienced his failure too, but through these failures, he learned to be strong in faith. We may fail oftentimes, but we need to remember that we are God's chosen one. And because we are God's chosen people, all the battles are in God's hand and not in our hands. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 4 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. This is why we can do all things through him who strengthened me. Christians fight this spiritual battle in faith. We can see and we can touch, but we follow his word. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is the faith of believing in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross to give us an ultimate victory. Lifting heavy weights and doing all sorts of exercise make our body sore. Likewise, there are many times when we have to lift heavy spiritual weights. So if there's anyone who has sore spirit, from lifting these heavy spiritual weights, come before his presence and lay down all your heavy weights before him. And by praying to God and listening to his word, don't be discouraged and go beyond your limitation of spiritual battle by relying on his power. Don't be afraid by your limitation or weaknesses, but go beyond your limitation of spiritual battle with faith. There are some limitations which will there be for a lifetime, but God gives us the victory over them. Apostle Paul believed to have some disease in his body. So he prayed and he asked God to remove it. But God said no and said, my grace is sufficient for your needs. Paul's sickness didn't hinder him from being one of the greatest missionaries in the church history. All of us face limitations. We're weak. But we need to not be limited because God has a call. God has a plan and has purpose for our lives. And with his almighty hands, he will help us to go through. And when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we find an unlimited power to save us from sin, to save us from ourselves, and to save us from endless spiritual battle. So do not look at your limitation, but look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thirdly, go beyond the limitation of materialism. After Abraham winning the war and brought back all the possessions, king of Sodom comes to meet Abraham and says to him in verse 21, it says, give me the persons, but take the good for yourself. What this means is that in order for him to restore the Sodom, he needs people. So he's asking Abraham to give the people back, but telling Abraham to keep all the goods. At the time, if you win the war, then all the possessions are yours. So Abraham had the right to say, I won the war, so I will keep both people and goods. Because having the captive at the time are the signs of wealth. Or he could have said, okay, I will do as you say. Take the people and I will take the goods. But listen to how Abraham responds in verse 22 and 23. He says, but Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hands to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I should not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham's attitude was clear. This is like him saying, I live by God's blessing. And I became rich by God's blessing, not by the goods from the king of Sodom. I do not want to hear that I became rich because of King Sodom, so I would not take anything from you. But Abraham is not simply saying this, but he practices in his life. Along with the king of Sodom, Melchizedek, king of Salem, came to greet Abraham. Verse 18 says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Salem here signifies Jerusalem. And so he was the king of Jerusalem. He was the priest of God Most High. He was the one with authority to receive the offering and give blessing. So Melchizedek is the image of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And the bread and wine he brings signifies Jesus' flesh and blood. And it is this Jesus Christ who blesses Abraham. Verse 19 to 20 says, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and be blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. You know, there's a lesson we can learn from here. Melchizedek is teaching us that it is not by Abraham or 318 men's ability to win the war, but by the help of God. So Abraham also learned that his victory was the result of God's blessing and the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ. So after realizing this grace, as a sign of thanksgiving heart, Abraham gives him the tenth of everything. The tenth of everything, the tenth of offering, or in other words, tithe, appears for the first time in the Bible here in this passage. Tithe has been one of the controversial topics within the church for many years. Some people may argue that, okay, the, you know, giving tithe is only the Old Testament thing, because in the New Testament doesn't really talk about it. And Old Testament talks about giving tithe, not New Testament. So some people are confused whether they should give tithe or not. Whether they should give tithe before tax or after tax. There are misconceptions about the tithe that it is something that you have to give in order for you to be blessed. It is one of the check of lists to fulfill the law so that you don't get punished. It is something that you're forced to give. But through Abraham, we can see that this is not the case. He is giving tenth of everything, not just that leftovers, but he's giving voluntarily. No one, and not even Melchizedek, forced him to give tithe, but he voluntarily gave tithe because he was thankful for the grace that he received from God. It is an expression of acknowledgement that God provided the entire 100%, but we're giving first 10% to express the heart of thanksgiving as a proof of this acknowledgement and that he is the Lord in our lives. So tithe is not simply an offering, but it is an act of responding to his grace. So whenever you give offering, you should give as a response to your grace. So Abraham's tithe was the offering of thanksgiving. Old Testament commandment to tithe has been replaced by greater command to practice generosity at all times, which means so much more than just a 10% offering. But the basic heart attitude stays the same. Whether you give tithe, thanksgiving offering, special offering, or Sunday offering, give your offering with the heart of thanksgiving rather than giving with reluctance or giving as an obligation. Like any other activity in life, becoming more generous requires a level of discipline. We don't become generous overnight. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is not a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." If we love money more than God, it will eventually make us wander away from the faith. So this is what God says in Hebrews 13:5. "Keep content with what you have, for he has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Money and wealth are often the biggest temptation for us. It is very hard for us to go beyond the limitation of materialism. No matter how much you earn, you can never be perfectly satisfied or be free from money. We have to pay bills, right? Loans, mortgages, insurance, childcare, etc. I know that there are some people who are facing this financial challenges. Then we need to hold on to this promise. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." It is because we know that just as James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Abraham believed this and knew what the true blessing is. It is not the blessing from the king of Sodom or the world, but it is the blessing from God. But what's important here is that he did not force his faith to other people. Verse 24 says, "I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. Let Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share." Abraham kept and gave out the fair wage to the men who were with them. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So when you give, give according to the measure of faith that God has assigned you. But when God gives you heart to give, then go beyond your limitation of materialism and obey to his call. Then God will receive glory through your giving hands. I have my wife has a brother and a sister. I think their faith was really was precious, because when they graduated from college, when they first got the job, the first income, the first monthly income, they just gave everything to God, because that was the heart that God gave to them. But at that time, they both had to pay tuition, and you know, my in-laws, they were not doing great. They were not doing good financially. So every penny would have helped. But in that situation, God gave them heart to give you know, whatever you have. And they earned the first income, first month, and they gave everything to God. And I was like, oh, you're crazy. How can you, right? I mean, you need money, right? How are you going to afford yourself, like, next month? What are you going to eat? But it was the heart that they got from God, and they gave everything. And through these many, many years, I have experienced, I have witnessed how God has blessed every step of their lives. And God provided all their needs and everything. And now they're so thankful, and they're just content with what, you know, what they have. And recently, I had this, one of my church members came to visit me, and he said he wants to give an offering. But they're doing really poorly financially. He's working daytime, and nighttime he's in a restaurant serving food. But he had this money from Korea that he brought. And he had to use that money. But then God gave him heart to give this money as an offering to support the missionaries. So he was battling against himself. But he and his wife talked about it and decided to give this offering. So he called me, came to me. So he shared all these stories, and they couldn't resist but to obey, because they need this money, but I think God wants this money more. Not because God is greedy, but it was God wants to use this money to support the missionaries. But he gave with faith. So before he was really worried how he's going to live, but now he's so peaceful, and he's so happy, and he's just, you know, no regrets at all. And he's just satisfied with his decision, and he's just so thankful. So we cried together. We were just sitting there, and it was just receiving this offering, and I gave to the financial department. We're just crying together, you know, praying for him, and I just, you know, pray hard for God to bless him. And I'm going to, you know, keep praying for him, and I know for sure that God will bless him, and God will provide all the things that he needs. And because I have witnessed, and it's that's the God that I have experienced through these past years. So whenever God gives you heart to give, don't hesitate, but go beyond your limitation. And when you give, God will use that money for his glory through your giving hands. So I would like to conclude my message. Going back to the Olympic story, I'm sure many athletes wanted to give up when they faced the limitations. Likewise, whenever we struggle in our walk with God and face the limitation in our lives, there's always a tendency for an immature believer to choose the option of quitting. The easiest thing to do is to quit. But of course, all of us know that this is not the best decision, best solution. The Bible encourages us to run our own race with perseverance, because God desires for all of us to finish the race. God did not promise us a problem and struggle-free life. Instead, he assured us of his presence and his generous help, especially when we are in trouble. As humans, we have our own limitations, but God can stretch it out and help us to go beyond our limitation so that you and I can do things unimaginable. As followers of Christ, we need to push beyond our human limitation in order to experience more of his power and glory. And just as Melchizedek came to greet Abraham and blessed him, I would like to bless all of you to live with hope that you will be created by God and receive gold medal, the crown of life. Let's pray. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us. Help us to remember your almighty power. Help us to go beyond our limitation. Help us not to focus on ourselves, but focus on you, who can stretch out our limitations and do something that is unimaginable. Help us to be empowered through today's communion and through your words, and may we live to glorify your name. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.